Now, item 17, review of risk diversifying sub-portfolio.
Okay. Well, the good news is that this is the last one of the year. It's also our last board meeting, but we've done a deep dive review of the liquidity program earlier in the year and the growth program more recently. This is the last of these where we step into the manager structure and we talk about what they do for Sisera, what's working, what needs some additional attention, and provide a forum for the trustees to ask a lot of questions. So we'll just step into this. If you go to slide 3 of the PowerPoint presentation, let's just review the role of risk diversifying under the Sisera asset allocation construct. The diversifying is that green box in the bottom. This is really meant to be an offset to the equity markets. And the reason it's there is twofold. One is as a risk dampener for the overall allocation. The second is because we have opted to place a relatively significant portion of our growth assets in illiquid structures. So our real estate is in limited partnerships, private equity is in limited partnerships, private credit is in limited partnerships. Once we're fully up and running across all three of those categories, it's a pretty big chunk of our growth allocation. So when the public equity markets experience a pullback, we might need an external source to rebalance back into those public equities. A bigger pullback than what we've seen currently, but the diversifying sub-portfolio is intended to serve that purpose as well. We want to be able to sell these allocations to buy stocks when stocks are down significantly. So the way we define diversifying, it's not an asset class per se, it's a set of behaviors that we try to find in the marketplace. It is defined by low correlation to the equity markets. We want it to be different and diversifying. Positive real return, we don't want this to cost money while we're waiting to use the funds. And highly liquid in periods of equity market stress, it has to be useful to us to be able to use for rebalancing. The simplest explanation for an asset class that maps over to this historically is U.S. Treasuries. Although their correlation to the stock market can be significantly positive, it has trended negative over the past 30 years. But we do take a look at a broad variety of strategies to fill this out. If you turn to slide 4, we'll just take a look at the current lineup there. There's three managers in this right now. Two of these are legacy managers, so AFL-CIO we've had for a long period of time. Wellington Real Total Return we've had for about 4 or 5 years now, and Parametric Defensive Equity is the brand new strategy there. So the rules for us, AFL-CIO acts as, this is commercial mortgage-backed entities or issuances that have a government guarantee associated with them. So we get a treasury-like exposure. It's got the government guarantee associated with it with a higher yield. Parametric defensive equity is really intended to be the clipping those insurance premiums of the puts and calls that are sold into the marketplace. I have a alternative source of income stream there. And Wellington Real Return is a inflation hedging strategy. Over time, as we identify additional strategies, we do right now intend to draw down the Wellington allocation in order to fund new allocations there. And you can see the allocations at 3.6, 2.1, and 2.3, so collectively we're 8%, which is right on our current target allocation to the overall program. So we'll spend a little bit of time on, and my slide numbers dropped off. I don't know if yours did, but take a look at this slide labeled risk diversifying that has objectives and measurements on it. We'll spend a little time focused on how we measure and monitor this. This one's a little bit tricky because, again, not defined by an asset class, defined by behaviors. So what we've done is identified a measure associated with each one of those behaviors that we track on an individual manager basis and an aggregate. So when we say offset the volatility of the growth portfolio, we're really talking about a rolling three and five-year correlations to the U.S. equity market and to the global equity markets. And we track those. Those are provided to the board on a quarterly basis in the staff report, so we can look at that and say, is that number, call it 0.4 or below? And that's kind of our sweet spot there. Zero would be great. Kind of hard to get there on a regular basis. Positive real returns, this is just an inflation return net of inflation figures, and we do track that as well. And then the high liquidity, we measure that as being able to, how much of the portfolio can we liquidate within 90 days without moving the market. And most of these strategies, it's right about 100% of the portfolio can be liquidated in 90 days. The reality is we could liquidate probably 85% of these within 10 days. So they are useful from that perspective. Got a couple slides here on each individual strategy. And you'll recall when we talked about establishing this 2 years ago, I mentioned to the board that these three behaviors don't tend to exist inside of a single strategy. So we have to build a matrix to develop this. I think I referred to it at the time as a unicorn, which is still my favorite graphic I've ever used in a presentation to the board, the unicorn wearing a hoodie. But as we step through these, you'll see that each manager tends to shine on one or two of the outcomes and not contribute as much to a third. So if we take a look at AFL-CIO, it's actually expressing a negative correlation to the equity markets right now. Great diversifier. On a real return basis, pretty solid. Liquidity is right about 100%. So this one is as close as we get to hitting on all cylinders. The key personnel there, three individuals listed. We should just remind the board that Cheng Su is going to become the CEO of AFL-CIO, so still going to have some portfolio management responsibilities, but we will be meeting with the firm probably in the first half of next year to understand how that dynamics changed in terms of Cheng's contribution to the portfolio. Parametric defensive equity on the next page. This is the newest one. We funded this in July. I believe the board approved it in the first quarter, and by the time we got through contracting, we funded it in July. So most of the metrics here you're looking at on the trailing 3 or 5 year basis, this is based upon composite information, not upon our actual experience, but it does provide you with some indication about where things sit there. This is the option selling strategy. We sell puts, we sell calls. Both are expected to be to not pay off 80% of the time. So it does depend on market volatility. And it does, basically, it's a behavioral hedge that says people will pay an insurance premium to not lose or to have, you know, be able to gain money. Most of the time, this works out well. We're going to have experiences where we lose some money here when those options are in the money. So if we take a look at the historical track record there, this has a higher correlation to the equity market, so we're not getting as much of the offset there. But we do get a relatively high real return, and that is that diversified income stream of the insurance premiums coming back to us. And it's incredibly liquid. This is one we can basically sell the entire position within 3 days. Just a little bit of an update, because I'm sure trustees want to know how it's responding with the current market volatility, to Scott's point before he asked me the question. So we funded this in July, and market volatility over the course of the summer was very low by historical standards. We had volatility in February and March, very low over the course of the summer, and it's come back up. When we talk about market volatility, we usually bring up the VIX index, and the VIX index is just a forward-looking measurement of the expected volatility of the markets. It's got a complicated way of calculating it, but low number means investors think the market's going to be relatively stable going forward. High number, highly volatile. When we funded this in July, the VIX was at about 12. About 8 is as low as this thing ever gets, so very low by historical standards. In October, we saw this creep up, do more than creep up, actually have accelerated impact up to about 27. So it went from 12 to 27. A lot of the, not a lot, some of the contracts that we were writing paid off. So we had some payouts that we had to make there. We had associated income and payouts both. And we currently stand at about 22. So in the quarter to date, in the fourth quarter to date, we're down about 1% in this. Now most of that came in October as we went from 12 to 27. We had a negative experience there. We're back in the money now. This is a strategy that actually benefits from a higher VIX level. It benefits from more volatility in the marketplace because you have further, your 80% out of the money puts and calls have further to go from the current price before they pay out, and the insurance premiums are larger. So we like operating in a 20 plus VIX environment. Getting from 12 to 20 is a painful short-term experience. Now we've reset, and you recall These things reset three times a week, so the reset process is pretty quick there. So we're in a better environment for this strategy today than when we funded it, but we, you know, our expectations were that market volatility would rise. Lastly, Wellington Real Total Return. This was a inflation hedging strategy that was put in place when we had an explicit inflation hedging mandate. It remains in place as a proxy for the space as we find additional strategies here, but it's essentially a low-cost multi-asset or multi-strategy implementation that expects to at least cover inflation plus a premium. Uncorrelated to the equity markets, very liquid, but we have had lackluster performance, to say the least, with the strategy over the past 5 years. We have reduced the tracking error and reduced the fee level of this, so we feel comfortable holding this in the short term to fund other mandates as a proxy for the space. And just a reminder to the trustees in terms of how your strategic decisions impact this portfolio. This is the smallest of the sub-portfolios, so sometimes I think it's easy to kind of forget about this one. But you do have two critical points of input, and one is affirming the goals and parameters of the sub-portfolio, the three goals I outlined. Those are codified in the investment policy statement and other places about how we expect the strategy to behave. So when we did the investment policy statement, we got the board's input at that point in time. And the other strategic decision is really determining the size of this, and that's reviewed annually. When we have new capital market assumptions coming out from Verus, we take a look at the expected size of the liquidity program going forward and how we might want to change the relative weights of the growth and diversifying strategy. So we get your input in the first half of every year. We'll get your input again next April about the relative size of this and the functioning going forward. So just in conclusion, the program does serve that dual purpose of risk dampening and liquidity in the event of a big equity market dislocation. We think the multi-manager structure remains a work in progress. Two of the mandates we're very comfortable on, AFL-CIO and Parametric Defensive Equity. We do maintain a very robust pipeline of other potential strategies. The reason we haven't brought anything forward or funded anything in this space is most of these strategies are relatively new in nature. A lot of these were crafted in the 2012 forward time frame, so they just don't have a tremendous amount of track record in a stressful environment. We're getting a little bit of that experience right now, and so some of these strategies may come forward to the board in the next year if we can satisfy ourselves that the behaviors we expect are the behaviors we see when VIX goes from 12 to 27. But more to come on that. We would expect one to two strategies to be approved next year. We think it's working okay. We want to get the real returns up on this portion of the portfolio, though, and that remains an ongoing area of focus for my team. Any questions from the trustees? Yep.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you.